In association with iFanboy, welcome again to Word Balloon, the comic book conversation show. This is John Suntress. Today, it's a minute with Mark Miller. Actually, it's almost 20 minutes. Mark is really busy on a big UK tour, not only for the British release of the Kick-Ass DVD, but also, come Thursday, the debut of Clint, Mark's new magazine that's somewhat of a cross between 2000 AD and Maxim. Mark promises a lot of comedic articles in the book and representation by guys like Frankie Boyle and Jonathan Ross, and comics from those two guys, and of course Mark himself, including Kick-Ass 2 and Nemesis. Who starts a magazine in this era where magazines seem to be dying all around? Well, Mark explains. But this one is a quickie because, as I said, Mark is really busy. He's running around. You're going to hear a lot about what he's got going on currently and some future plans as well. And so we did this quick little hit because we wanted to help him promote Clint, but also with the promise that he'd come back and talk a little bit more about some of the things that are going on inside of his comics. But today, it's pretty much all Clint and Kick-Ass talk with Mark Miller on a very special edition of Word Balloon. Today, it's brought to you by InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com, where you'll find a wide variety of trade paperbacks, hardcovers, absolute editions, omnibus editions, essentials, all for 35% or more off the standard retail price. And if your orders are $50 or more at InStockTrades.com, your shipping is free. The first hardback collection of Mark's new series for Marvel's Ultimate line, Ultimate Comics Avengers, is available. The standard retail price is $24.99, but at InStockTrades.com it's just $15.74. How about the trade paperback of American Jesus Volume 1? The standard retail price is $9.99. At InStockTrades.com, just $6.29. Don't forget about their sister site discount comic book service at DCBService.com for all your monthly pre-order needs. But for more details, check out both of their websites, InStockTrades and InStockTrades.com, and discount comic book service at DCBService.com. Well, great to talk to you, man. And I know you're running around like a nut, and congratulations on this magazine. I'm very curious. It in some ways, it seems like an odd time to release a magazine. But then again, I'm sure you're not just thinking about paper here.
Weirdly, I am mainly thinking about paper. Because the thing, I'm a great believer in the sort of maxim, you know, that always advance when everyone else is retreating, you know, and always retreat when everyone else is getting into something, you know. So I just think the fact that everyone says now is the worst possible time to launch a magazine means basically there's no competition, you know, which is wonderful, you know, and there's just such a gap in the market, you know. I mean, I've felt this for years. I've always been sort of standing around thinking, like, wouldn't it be brilliant if somebody created a British comic mag? You know, it's a shame there isn't one for this generation, you know, the same way that my generation had Bike Sales on 2000 AD and my dad's generation had The Eagle in the 1950s and so on. And I just thought, well, I'm actually in a very privileged, very lucky position right now, which is that I could do it. You know, I've got the contacts, I've got the resources and so on, you know, and, you know, it's not that hard, you know. So so I started putting plans together for this about a year ago, and it's been one of those incredibly lucky things that it's just attracted in all the exact right people that it needed, and it's just had luck on its side since the beginning, you know.
Is this going to be for, and of course I'm greedy, I'm the United States audience and the Canadian audience, is this going to be only as an import, or are you going to have a North American distributor for Clint? Because I know obviously Kick-Ass 2 has been coming, or Kick-Ass had been coming out, and Nemesis through Icon.
Yeah. Well, all my work will primarily come out through Icon, you know, because the way I'm looking at it is that I want Clint to eventually be as much originated material as possible, but that's actually very, very expensive to do. I mean, even if you're talking about average rates for writers and artists, not even big rates for the best artists you can get your hands on and so on, you know, you're talking per page thousands, you know, by the time you add per issue thousands and thousands of dollars, you
wow
know? And then you add that up over 100 pages of content, you know, and if you're talking about superstar creators, I mean, a lot of these guys are on over $1,000 a page, you know, it's a lot of money. And imagine that multiplied by, you know, 100 pages, you know, to get the best possible artists. It's just very, very expensive, you know. So we could go cheaper, but, you know, sometimes the most expensive guys are expensive for a reason, and that they're really good, you know, the guys like Steve McNiven and so on. So what I wanted to do was build up the cash flow, you know. So and there's nothing cheaper than printing your own stuff. So, like, I just went and got my Icon books, you know, and just that was my little library. And I said to my friends, like Jonathan Ross and so on, look, guys, do you want to be in Clint? And we've got a very generous package for reprint, as well as a really great royalty package and so on, you know, for originator material as well, you know, where we're actually paying a page rate. So at the moment, roughly about a quarter of content is going to be paid for by us. Three quarters of it is sort of repackaging stuff that the British mainstream won't have seen before, you know, sort of Icon books or Image books or something like that, that really only a few thousand people in this country have seen. And the rest of it, hopefully, you know, will build up that whole, you know, creator originated material over here in the UK.
Is this going to be purely, like you said, The Eagle in 2000 AD, a 100-page comic magazine, or is it going to be kind of more like a lad magazine where you will have articles and not necessarily girls, although I'm certainly not objecting to girls in bikinis, but you know what I mean.
It's a fine line, isn't it? Because there's so many of those mags, you know, it's like, I never want to sort of appeal to the lowest common denominator, you know, because you just think, well, okay, after topless, you do bottomless, and after bottomless, you know, would you do autopsies, you know, what's the next step? So, like, I wanted to kind of, you know, if you're aiming a book at 16 to 25-year-old guys, there's got to be some element of girls in there, you know, I mean, superhero comics is full of it, you know, Supergirl, Scarlet Witch, all these things are in pretty skimpy costumes, you know, boys like looking at pictures of attractive women in very little clothes, you know, it's weird to launch a British mag without doing that, but what I decided to do was kind of do it in a much more knowing way, you know, like, for example, our pin-up page is a thing called Deeply Moral Babes, which is overdressed porn for the religious right, which is like girls standing in porn poses and everything, but they're maybe wearing, like, you know, sweaters and cardigans and jeans and things and all that, you know, so they look as if they're in the local chess club or something like that, but they're standing in porn poses, you know, or we've done a thing on hot TV mums, but it's things like Samantha out of Bewitched and so on, you know. So, you know, it's got girls in it, but my God, you know, you'd have to be, you know, a Quaker or something to be upset by the content in that sense, you know.
Okay. Well, now, from a violence standpoint, you know, things like Kick-Ass and Nemesis and stuff, you don't hold back. So is there a rating for the magazine?
Oh, yes, the magazine's not for sale to sort of anyone under 16, really. You know, it says on the front, you know, not for sale to children.
Okay.
You know, I comics over here always felt a little bit dangerous. You know, when I was a really young kid, when I was about 6 or 7, I think, Garth Ennis and I talked about this all the time because we're the same age, you know. There was a comic over here called Action, and it was brilliant. It was always, you know, the lead character in one of the strips was a killer polar bear. You know, that's what the lead character, you know. And, like, the other lead character was a Hookjaw, was a shark, you know, that just killed different guys every issue, you know. And it was kind of like Jaws, but from Jaws's point of view, you know. And, you know, so we grew up in this era of really violent comics that your parents massively disapproved of. And I just sort of wanted to do something kind of similar, you know, not to actually put something out there that's horrible or anything, but just something that's a little bit edgy and a little bit dangerous. And, you know, I think British comics are quite anarchic. They always have been. Like, our most famous comic book character is probably Dennis the Menace, who is much less kind of clean cut than the American Dennis the Menace. Like,
yes.
He's like a crazed anarchist, you know, whereas the most famous characters in US comic scenes are like Superman, Batman, and Spider-Man, who are all like nice guys on the side of law and order, you know. So I think, you know, just by nature, I think our stuff's a little bit more irreverent, and this book feels like that too. I mean, I've very consciously made it something that people would be more inclined to pick up if they're in the mainstream. Like, I've been quite obsessed the last few years with reaching out to a mainstream audience. You know, like, Civil War is very, very mainstream friendly. I mean, that's a reason that so many people picked up that book. You know, Kick-Ass is very mainstream friendly. The Ultimates and so on, all these things, Old Man Logan, like, you could pick up those books and read them without ever having really read any other comic books before, you know.
Sure.
It's pretty easy. And I feel as if that's the market I'm fascinated by. You know, like, I'm converted. All my friends who read comics are already converted, but I'm aware that, you know, 10 years down the line, 5 years down the line, that's a dwindling number. You know, people fall away. So I'm always very, very interested in bringing in the new people. And the UK scene has got a very unique distribution system. Like, we actually have someone who can sell a comic or a magazine within 5 or 10 minutes walk of pretty much every home, like more than 90% of homes in the UK, which is very unlike the US, where you have to jump in a car usually to go and buy a newspaper or something.
Right.
If you live in the suburbs, we don't really quite have that same geographical layout as you guys, because it's a smaller country. So Titan Distributors, they have magazines in every single shop in the UK. So I wanted to do something, you know, that could utilize that and make it look a bit like a magazine, like a hybrid between a comic and a magazine, so that people also didn't feel too embarrassed picking it up as well, because that's the big thing when I talk to my friends who don't read comics. They say they don't like the idea of reading something on the bus or the train that just looks like a Spider-Man comic or something, you know?
Sure.
So I wanted it to be a combination of things which pulled together all the pop culture things I love, like stand-up comedy, movies, you know, superheroes and so on, all into one thing. So that's what we've got. We've got television personalities, so friends of mine who are massive comic fans, great writers, doing comic books. So it's a weird thing, like unlike anything anyone's ever done over here before.
That's terrific. And you mentioned stand-up, and I've got to ask about Frankie Boyle, because I've been reading Jonathan Ross's Turf, and certainly reading Nemesis, yeah, and everything you've been doing. But tell me about Frankie. I've caught a little bit of his comedy on YouTube, because I was really curious,
yeah,
as he was brought in as a partner. So tell us about his strip.
Frankie is the biggest stand-up comedian in the country. There's two guys who are sort of at the top of their game in this country. One's called Jimmy Carr, who, weirdly enough, is actually the interviewer in this issue, in the first issue, because we've got lots of features like interviews and articles and so on too. And Frankie is the other one. Like, Frankie and Jimmy are just gold over here. You know, if they're on TV, everybody watches it. And Frankie sort of almost became too cool for television a few months ago, and the show that made him a superstar over here actually couldn't handle it anymore. You know, the material he was using was deemed just too much for the BBC. So he's jumped over to another channel and is preparing something that's, you know, 10 times even more extreme. It's just absolutely hilarious, called Tramadol Nights. And Frankie's, this Rex Royd, is the strip that he's created for us. It's his first ever try at doing a comic strip. He's always been a fan. And it's a kind of messed up version of Lex Luthor. You know, so it's quite interesting. The Brits are very interested in villains, I think, in the way that Americans are very interested in the sort of Law and Order guys. You know, I think it's an interesting cultural difference between Britain and Europe. But half of this magazine is about bad guys as elites, you know.
Well, and it's funny, because now mentioning, you know, Jonathan as well, and now telling me a bit about Frankie and everything, you got all the bad boys. You got all the bad boy celebrities working on this thing in a good way.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of it, but that's what's kind of... people gravitated towards the magazine, and that's what's made it really fascinating. Like, so many stand-up comics, you know, through Frankie, have said to me, and Jimmy Carr as well, have said, oh, we'd love to do something for the mags. I've got a lot of stand-up guys writing features for the magazines, and there's going to be interviews with lots of well-known stand-ups running through the mag maybe every couple of issues that another stand-up is doing. We've got columns by comedians and so on. So, I don't know, So this mag just attracted in a certain type of person very quickly, working for it, and it's really quickly establishing an identity for itself. You know, like normally a mag takes a year or so, you know, 6 months to really kind of find out who it is. But I think this thing's found its voice so fast. And I got the first issue in last week, and of course I'm its number one fan. You know, I was just cover to cover. I just feel the experiment is working, and it's a lovely feeling, because the British comic scene has been really undernourished for a long time, and retailers have got out of the habit of ordering comics, and even great comics like 2000 AD are selling like 10% of what they used to sell, which is insane. But it's not because of the quality of the book, which hasn't gone down. It's just because retailers have forgotten, you know, oh yeah, we can order comics for teenagers and adults. It's not just baby stuff, you know. And likewise, I think there's a generation of people who've never picked up a comic before. So this, because it really aims at them. I mean, I want the readers to be people who've never opened up a comic before. And this could be their first try. They maybe see Frankie Boyle and Jonathan Ross in the cover, Kick-Ass 2, the sequel to the movie.
Indeed.
This comic, you know, and they open it up and, you know, they read their first comic book and hopefully get hooked and hopefully go and try other great comics, you know, and start going into comic stores and, you know, I want to find new readers. That's the plan.
Now, and I should ask, because certainly American audiences must be wondering, when does Kick-Ass 2 start coming out from Icon?
Well, Icon is my number one thing. You know, Icon is is the priority for me with these things. Like, Nemesis started there and is being repackaged in Clint. Kick-Ass 2, the plan was to do the same. But unfortunately, the guys are so brilliant, but unfortunately so overloaded with work with the regular Marvel gigs that they were just a bit late. You know, so it was easy for, you know, we're going to be running Kick-Ass 2 in segments in Clint. But unfortunately, we didn't have a first full issue ready by that point.
Okay.
So I think we're probably still even 2 weeks away from seeing it coming out from Icon, unfortunately. But the complete issue should be out before the second half of the first issue appears in Clint issue 2. You know,
okay.
Icon must take priority. You know, like that's always been my plan. Like, the American readership for Kick-Ass, you know, should be getting it before it appears in Clint. It's just been quite unfortunate. Superior is going to eventually appear in Clint as well, but it'll always be about 2 months behind the American edition. Lionel Francis, you and I have Superior coming out in October, and I think we're going to start running it in Clint in December, issue 5.
Okay.
It'll immediately follow Nemesis, because Nemesis concludes with issue 4.
Fantastic. And okay, and so you say basically Clint will have 10 pages. So is it 10 pages for all three of you guys then? And then 5 pages from the other contributing comic people?
The breakdown of the issue will be half an issue of Kick-Ass in every issue, but we'd like to ramp that up to a full issue eventually, you know? Once we can, you know, Johnny's confident he can really get the schedule going.
Sure.
Nemesis will be a full issue, and that will be followed by Superior for the other half of the first year, and that will be a full issue, 22 pages. Turf will be mostly full single issues, but we might occasionally drop that to half. And Frankie Boyle's thing is 11 pages an issue. And we're looking to bring in a couple of other things as well, maybe around issue 3, start up another strip as well. And we also have a short strip every issue that's 3 or 4 pages where we want to highlight new talent and groom new talent as well, so that in year 2 we can give them series. You know, because I just think one of the big mistakes in comics, I think, is, you know, to let someone run before they can walk, you know. So the idea of starting someone with an 11-part story or something seems insane if you don't know if they can maybe do a good 6-pager. You know, they might not be able to tell a story. So what I wanted to do in the first year was try people out, you know, and if they're good, then they get rewarded. You know, they get maybe 2 or 3 shorts in the first year and then brought back with a continuing series in year 2. So I just want to groom some new talent as well, which is really important.
Excellent. Well, now I'm going to wrap up because I know you're going to see The Last Exorcism as we're recording this tonight. So I don't want to screw you up, but I will say we are going to continue this conversation next week.
Absolutely. I'm back. This is a crazy week. Like, I'm launching Clint. It's on Thursday and we have a big signing, but doing like 3 days of press leading up to it. But also, this is also when the Kick-Ass DVD comes out in the UK.
Yes.
We have a week of press doing all that stuff too. So I'm in London for a few days. And also, we're shooting, I'm directing a movie over here as well. So we're shooting that again. We've had a little break and we're shooting that a week on Saturday. So I have like a few days next week where life sort of returns back to normal a little bit. So it'll be great just to chill out at home and talk to Word Balloon.
Oh, that'd be wonderful, man. And quickly, can you give us the name of the movie that you're making in a quick 30 seconds of what it's about?
I'd love to, but it's
under wraps.
It's been promised as an exclusive, you know. So like, what we're going to do is we're going to release, and actually probably about 3 weeks' time, we'll release some images from it. We'll release the title.
Okay.
And, you know, you'll get a look at me wearing a baseball cap shouting at
Well, and this is my opportunity to tell you, because we haven't spoken since Kick-Ass was released, how wonderful it was. Congratulations. I'm so happy that it found that world audience. I was kind of nervous about the U.S. box office, and I'm pleased that clearly it was enough of a worldwide success that it is a hit, and you're moving on to the sequel.
Oh, yeah, it's great. I mean, I think it did about 50 million in the States or something, just under, I think 48 million or something, and worldwide did about 100 million.
Terrific.
The amazing thing has been the DVD, you know, it's
yes.
looking like, you know, we're going to do more than that on DVD, so we could be looking at a quarter of a billion in total box office for something that only cost 28 million to make, you know, so
wonderful.
Matthew Vaughn's like, you know, get on, you know, he's excited, you know.
That's something I want to talk about is really, you know, movie-wise, you know, your success and your observations of not only your direct work on you know, Kick-Ass and Nemesis coming up with Tony Scott, but also, you know, comparing the experiences of working on your own movies versus being in the idea room for the Marvel movies as well.
Yeah, yeah. Will we cover that next week, you mean? Yeah,
if we can. Yeah, if we could talk about that next week, that'd be lovely.
I'd love to, yeah. Yeah, that'd be great. You know, I mean, it's been such an exciting few years. You know, like just when I think, you know, I can't believe my luck, then another great piece of luck comes along. You know, it's just, I've been very, very fortunate over the last couple of years.
Well, you're bringing talent to that luck, man, and I think that's what's making more luck for you. So, congratulations. I think that's wonderful, and thanks for talking today.
Not at all. I'll speak to you soon.
And really, man, as always, it's a pleasure to talk to you. And nice going.
Oh, no, you too. Thanks. And sorry for all the hassle.
It's okay. You're worth it. I'm always happy to talk to you. You know that. All right. Have a good night.
Thanks very much.
And there he goes. Quick as a flash. It's Mark Miller, folks. And it was great to be able to catch up with him briefly. Hope to continue the conversation later this month with more from Mark about some of the books that he's writing right now. And love to pick his brain about what's been going on with the movies that he's been working on as well. It's always good to get his perspective on what's going on in the business. That'll do it for this edition of Word Balloon. Thanks a lot for listening. Today's episode was brought to you by InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com, where you'll get great deals on a lot of Mark Miller product. Case in point, Ultimate Comics Avengers Volume 1. That's the first story arc of Mark's new line of Avenger comics in the Ultimate Universe. The standard retail price is $24.99 for the hardcover, but at InStockTrades.com, you can get it for $15.74. How about American Jesus Volume 1, one of Mark's original ideas that was really fantastic, from Miller World a couple years ago. The standard retail price is $9.99, but at InStockTrades.com, just $6.69. Check out all the deals. They're all waiting for you. $50 or more on your purchase, you'll get free shipping from your friends at InStockTrades.com. Thanks a lot for listening. Remember, you can catch Word Balloon every Tuesday at iFanboy, and of course, right here at WordBalloon.com. We're at iTunes. We try to give you more than four episodes a month, and usually we succeed. More great interviews coming up in the month of September. Great names and stuff in the can that I've been waiting to release and can't wait to share with you. And a lot of interesting people, not only in comics, but some cool movie guests as well. I hope you enjoy the interviews that are coming up in the weeks ahead here on Word Balloon. Questions or comments about the show, you can reach me via email, john@wordballoon.com. Follow me on Facebook under my name, John Suntress, or at Twitter under my handle, John Word Balloon. Until next time, thanks so much for listening. Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions, copyright 2010.